This recording, Ontario 30, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Calming It Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onorov, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working in a deserted district of the territory for a long time, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally he would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered either. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and gave her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Today I was curling at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, which is way too early on a Sunday morning to be curling. It's a Sunday Sinners League, which is more of a fun league than a competitive league, and I curl vice. And we won the game, but I found myself not quite sure how I was going to call the game. And when I eventually did make a call, my sweepers didn't listen to me. And as a consequence, we did not make that shot, but we still won the game. The thing with the Sunday Sinners League is that once a week, one team makes lunch. So it wasn't our turn this time, but we had Caesar salad and chili, which someone told me wasn't spicy, but when I took a mouthful of it, I found it was very spicy. Then we discussed what we were going to do for our lunch, but it's not for a few months, so we just talked about it and we'll decide later. There are 8 teams. 8 teams for 2 weeks. So we actually have 2 leagues, and we curl every other week, except when there's a bond spiel. And we'll be finished beginning of April. Skips are the big boss. Vices kind of, do everything. We have to throw the rock, we have to sweep the rock, we have to hold the broom and try to make some calls when the skip is throwing his or her rocks. So it's an opportunity for me to practice vicing, to get into the mentality of the game and the strategy. Otherwise, I'm simply a lead or a second and concern myself with throwing rocks and judging weight and when to sweep. So it's a little more interesting, a little more complicated. And it didn't make matters any easier that there was myself who was trying to decide what to call our skip and our spare, who was also a skip, who was also trying to call his own rocks. So with a lot of the shots, it was, "Yes, sweep! No, don't sweep! Yes, sweep! No, don't sweep!" Which is all very confusing when you're trying to decide whether or not to sweep.